Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you here, and I appreciate so much you being here. We're going to talk about the moralist judgment today. And as I preached the last time that I preached, we pointed out that the Gentiles were terrible people, terrible in that they sinned continually. And the Jews, of course, would be thinking how wonderful it is that Paul is getting on to them. They're terrible, terrible people. We've known that all the time. And now Paul is going to turn his guns on them. And it reminds me, not very long ago, well, quite a while ago, that I was in a class over at John and Angela's house. And I was teaching something. And when we got in the car and started home, my wife said, "Did you hear what you were teaching?" And I said, "Well, I think I did." She said, "Well, why don't you live it?" And I said, "Is that really true?" And she said, "It is." It's easy to tell everybody else what to do. But for you to do it, it's the hardest thing. Well, this is not working, so. So as he talks to the Jewish people, especially the moral judgment people, he says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Somehow I didn't get it on or something. Still doesn't work. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without the law will also without the law be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." I want us to notice something as we look at this. God's judgment against self-righteousness and hypocrisy. It's very easy to feel like we are very self-righteous. We're going to see, I think, that the Jews had really a couple of problems with that. Neither moralism nor heritage can save anyone from judgment. If you remember, it was when John the Baptist said, don't count that you've been the children of Abraham. He said, because God can even raise up children of Abraham from these stones. So people were saying, we're going to heaven and we're going to be with God because we are Jews, because we're God's chosen people. And sometimes we get to thinking because we are members of the Church of Christ that we're going to heaven just because we're members of the Church of Christ. And we fail to realize how often we do indeed sin. Paul teaches that God's judgment is righteous, it's universal, and it's always based on truth. And truth is the reality of something. Truth is what we are going to be judged by, and we sometimes do not understand that we have things going on inside of us that are not in accordance with the Word of God. And so God's even going to judge our thinking when it comes to that day. So leading both Jews and Gentiles to recognize their need for repentance and salvation through Christ. I don't know how many of you go to bed at night without repenting, but I'll guarantee you during the day something goes wrong in your head and you think the wrong thing. And we need to repent every night. We need to come before God and recognize that we are not what we ought to be completely. The Apostle Paul even said he was striving to get to where he was supposed to be. Jews had two problems in religion. Don't get me wrong when I say this. Their main focus was on morality, and when I say their main focus was on morality, I mean that they were looking and seeing how good they were and how they kept the law. Whenever they went to make sacrifices, they didn't see. They only saw the other person making the sacrifice because he was a sinner. They didn't see that they were sinners. And so the morality that they looked at was focused upon themselves. And being focused upon themselves, they missed the focus upon God. And they fell in love with their ceremonies. The ceremonies that they went through over and over and over, they fell in love with those and thought because they did those things that they were right before God. It doesn't make you right before God. In fact, God later says that I'm not going to really take your ceremonies because your heart is far from me. So there's a universal need for God's righteousness. That really got up at the top, didn't it? Well, it's at least at the top. Romans 1 revealed human unrighteousness and exposed the wrath of God against sin. And as I said, when we're talking about the wrath of God, it's not like man getting all upset. God's standard, we are working against him, and he does not take kindly to it at all. And Paul now addresses those who consider themselves moral, exposing the danger of self-righteous judgment. Whenever you look at yourself, I'm going to tell you it's hard to see yourself. We see ourselves the way we want to see ourselves instead of the way that God sees us. We need to compare ourselves to what God has said instead of looking at how neat we think we are. So he's mainly dealing with the Jews. So he tells us the danger of hypocritical judgment. Paul exposes the problem of condemning others while practicing similar sins. And you notice that many times as you watch while people sin and you have done the same thing. And we get into our religion in the wrong way. Those who judge others but commit the same sins are inexcusable. God says, I will not excuse that because you're doing the same thing. And we can see everything that people do wrong, but we do not see what we do wrong, and therefore it becomes a real problem. So he gives this example. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee And a Pharisee was one that if they touched a common person, they had to wash their clothes. And the other is a tax collector. And if anybody was ever hated, it's a tax collector. A tax collector would come and he would usually gyp you in quite a terrible way. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Isn't that wonderful? That we're not like other men. I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, you can be the very best neighbor in the world. You can be the very best person you can think of in the world. You can be, and you know what the Bible says about you if you did everything right? You've only done what you're supposed to do. That's what we do. You've only done what you're supposed to do. But none of us do what we're supposed to do. Now that's a fact. Every one of us have our problems. Even Tim has his problems. And he's a good teacher, but I guarantee you, he has to fight against the flesh. So the application of this is self-righteousness binds us to our own sins. Whenever I get to thinking that I'm better than other people, Jesus said the Jews, because they thought that they were better than other people because God chose them as a special nation, that they were better than everybody else. Now, when you get to thinking that, you're in real trouble, he says. Hypocrisy invites God's judgment rather than his approval. And hypocrisy is pretending. That's what we do many times. We pretend. I want to set forth my good foot before you. I want to be good in your sight. But you know what? I have to realize inside of me there's things going on. So they have a two-by-four problem. Have you ever met a person with a two-by-four problem? And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Can you imagine that, a two-by-four sticking out of my eye? And I'm looking down here and I say, Dion, I think you've got a splinter in your eye. Let me get it out. Can't do that if you got that plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck of you from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. How do you remove that? Well, I want you to realize that objectiveness is hard to see. Objective reality is hard to see when you're looking from an inward feeling. And if I look carefully and examine myself every day, every morning, every night, I'm going to come to the realization I make my mistakes and therefore I need to be patient with brethren. I need to be patient with others because I've been there before. I remember one time saying to a fellow in the Baptist church, I don't see how you can see it that way. And then I remembered I was once a Baptist. And I remembered how I saw it. And it wasn't the way that I saw it now. In order to help, we have to understand where the problem is. God's judgment is always according to truth. I love that. Because if you notice in the brotherhood, many times people are judged not by truth, but what seems to be apparent to them. And it's impartial and unchanging. As we learn more and more, we look down upon those that know less and less. I don't know that you realize we do that, but we cannot understand why they can't see. There may be an objective there that they just can't get over, and we need to be patient, and we need to teach and to recognize that if we're going to deal with the Gentiles, that we need to deal with them gently. We need to deal with them with the truth and deal with them so that they will be able to understand. Many times we talk to people and they have no idea what we're talking about because many times we don't know what we're talking about. Presuming on God's patience leads to storing up wrath, not escape. I don't know why we feel like God does not see what we're doing. And yet that is within each one of us as we do go about and do our secret things. We don't realize God is watching us and God sees us. I remember when I was a child, I could see and I hated the song, "There's an all-seeing eye watching you." And you could just picture a big eye in the sky looking at you and could see everything you did. And I hated that because I knew it was true, and yet when I'd get alone, I forgot that God was watching. And therefore, I did many things that shouldn't. God's goodness is meant to lead us to repentance. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the Bible, the hardest thing that anybody will ever do is repent. Because it takes the whole will of a person. And that whole will of a person means that I am really changing courses. I'm changing my mind about how I am living. And I'm going to turn it over to God and let Him lead me in what I'm doing. So that change of mind is hard because your will is hard to change. And these people, they could not change their heart. They could not repent because they were looking too much at the Gentiles. And they were forgetting who they were and what they were doing and what their secret thoughts were. Repentance is absolutely urgent. And that's with all of us. You say, well, I haven't repented in a long time. Well, maybe you should start now. Repentance means I recognize that I do things wrong and I'm changing my mind. And if I change my mind, I shouldn't have to repent of having repented. Many people repent because they've repented. One day they've repented of this, the next day they change their mind, move back to the other, and then the next day repent. That's not repentance. Repentance means that I have changed my mind about that. So the principles which God judges. God will render according to each one's deeds. Now I want you to think about at the time the Apostle Paul wrote this. Anybody that would have been judged would have been lost without Christ. Paul is saying, he's leading up to, everybody is bad. Everybody is guilty. Everybody does not deserve to go to heaven. And that's what he's leading up to. He's saying you're going to be judged by your deeds. Now you think about your deeds. And God says, I will judge you for that. There's two outcomes. Those that are perfect, they get immortality and life. If you are perfect, you don't have to worry. You're going to heaven. You deserve to go to heaven. And he says, all of those that are seeking for goodness and eternal life and immortality, those people will go to heaven. The problem was there wasn't any. There wasn't anybody doing that. There's only one that has ever done that, and that's Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I want you to recognize where you're standing. And wrath and indignation for self-seeking and disobedient. That just about takes everybody when we go into chapter 3. So he is pointing out there's nobody that deserves to go to heaven. Nobody. The only way we get to heaven is we are in Jesus Christ. And that's where our righteousness comes from. Judgment is impartial. We think, boy, I'm good looking and look good like Paige and look good like Peggy and look good like... I'm going to tell you something. Looking good does not mean you're going to heaven. He's talking to people, and I'm not talking to people who are not going to heaven. I'm talking to people, I want you to see what Paul is saying. Paul is saying God is impartial, and he's going to judge everybody. If you're trying to be justified by the moral law, he's going to judge you by the law of Moses. And if you're a Jew, you're going to be condemned. If you're a Gentile, you're going to be judged by the law that's in your heart, that is your conscience, and you're going to lose your soul. I need to escape those two things. Truth is all are condemned, and only Christ is perfect. Those trying to be justified by the law of Moses, by the law, they fail. Do you realize if you fail in one point, you can't make it up? I don't know whether people realize that. They say, well, I do more good than the other person does. It's not about that. It's about perfection. God expects perfection. And I want us to understand that. That's why Jesus Christ is essential. God wants perfection. We are not perfect. They were not perfect. So he's bringing them to Jesus Christ is what he's doing. The Gentiles and your conscience. Has your conscience ever bothered you a lot? I'll tell you, it will really drive you crazy if you let it. And the conscience means that we've got a little wheel turning in there that's like a metal piece that's just hitting and hitting and hitting until it drives you crazy. How do you get rid of that? Well, you either cover it up or you repent, one of the two. Now, all of you, even Jewel, don't you have some secret thoughts that you wouldn't want everybody to know? They do? And that becomes our excuse. That becomes our excuse. Everybody has them. Well, that still doesn't excuse me. We have secret thoughts we would not want anybody to know about, but Jesus knows them. Good morality will not save you. We are moral people because we love the Lord. And if you're doing being moral any other way, it may do a lot of people good, but it will not do you any good. Salvation only comes from God's grace and our faith meeting in Christ. When that happens, when those two come together, and that's in obedience to Christ, when those two happen, salvation comes. That God actually gets rid of our sins. And that's a powerful, powerful message. God gets rid of your sins to where he will never bring it up against you. That's what forgiveness is. It's not that God doesn't know. You remember, God knew that Paul had done a lot of things wrong. And they bring it up, but never against Paul. God forgets by putting it away completely. And so I'm going to do what Tim did. I'm going to preach just a short sermon. And what we are getting at is a very simple thing. Look at yourself. Do not be like the Jews were and say, I can see the Gentile's sin, or I can see Robbie's sin, or I look at yourself and see whether you can see you. Any criticism we have of others ought to be able to help them, not to condemn. Did that make sense? So, the lesson is yours. How do you get into Christ? Well, the Bible says very simply that you're baptized into his death. And if you're baptized into his death, you receive the blood of Christ. Everything's ready, so come on while together we stand and sing.